Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us begin our worship service today as we prepare our hearts for this experience by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside page of your bulletin. I do hope that you folks have saved the calendar after you've read it word for word from the newsletter, The Connection, because on the calendar it lists everything that's going to be going on this next week. And if you've read your connection and the little Sunday updates that we put into the Sunday school rooms, you'll know this is going to be a busy week. First of all, it's circle meeting week. And most of the circles will be meeting this week. Check your calendar to make sure the one that you belong to is going to be meeting where you think it's going to be meeting and when it's going to be meeting. And if you don't belong to a circle, pick one. Find a time that's convenient for you and come join us. We'd love to have you. And you don't have to pay a dues like a social club. You just need to come with your heart open and maybe your fingers ready to do a little work, because our circles are pretty active folks. I also want to remind you, it's not in the bulletin, but you need to know that the May and June upper rooms are available. Do check those out. They are a very helpful guide as you plan your private devotional time. And of course, I can't let go unnoticed the men's club meeting with my friend and former colleague Sam Davis from Lander, who has a very thick book about this area's involvement in, it was corrected this morning, it's not the Civil War, it's the war between the states, or somebody said that war of northern aggression, whatever, but it's about the people who were in the volunteers during the Civil War. So come and hear a very interesting program and a very knowledgeable one at that. Work days for the community garden were listed in your Sunday room update. And of course, Mother's Day, that's next weekend. Don't forget your mother. The youth will be selling red for donations, red and white carnations for you, and also it's Epworth Children's Home Day that we remember our support for those whose mothers have not, either are not available or have not been the mothers and the role models that these young folks needed. I also want to call your attention to the Main Streeters Picnic, and if you notice, that's the 12th at 11 o'clock. The Marion and Joby Adams are nice enough to let us come enjoy their beautiful lake place, so do bring a picnic addition to chicken that they're going to be providing. And I also want to remind you that the youth are going to be having next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, a Main Street's Got Talent. Think of something, even kitchen bands, that you could do for your talent and contribute a dessert, because there's going to be an auction for desserts. And some of them have really helped the youth fund some of the specialties that our church is famous for. Now, let us prepare our minds and hearts further for our worship as we hear the chiming of the Trinity and as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. please stand for the call to worship? Come to us even now, O Lord of life. We praise your name and rejoice in your love. Everyone who calls upon you will find fulfillment. Rejoice and give thanks.
Please be seated. There come those moments when we stand exposed, our failings, our hurtful words, our harmful ways open for all to see. But God takes these moments and these sins, redeeming them through compassion and love, making us new people, children of the living God. Let us come in these moments with our prayers to the one who waits to forgive us and make us whole. Please join me in the unison prayer of confession, followed by a time of silent and personal prayer. We carry our fears around with us like so much pocket lint, compassionate heart, when you would take them and toss them aside, spent and useless. You invite us to sit and chat with someone who wants to know more about you, but we are busy running errands. You give us a simple command to love, and we complicate it with rules, worries, and doubts. Forgive us, vine grower. You have planted those seeds of mercy, of hope, of grace deep within us, so we might bear rich and nourishing fruit for others. May we not get in the way of your gardener, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who will use the Holy Spirit to bring forth an abundant crop.
God abides in you. God is breathing, living, forgiving, restoring you in this moment and in the days to come. This is the good news for us.
Because God is in us, so we can live, work, care for others, so that love, hope, and joy might touch all peoples. Thanks be to God. We are forgiven.
The Old Testament reading for today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Hear now a reading from God's Word. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame, a fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The city of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppose them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. Today's gospel lesson comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Let us go to prayer. Holy God, as we pause during this time of our worship, to acknowledge again that you are the great I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last. We come to you, dear God, praying that we, like Moses, would hear your voice and would respond to your commission to us as a church and as a people, to find the excitement that comes from leading and also to feel maybe the threat and the dependence upon you to lead us and to guide us and to always speak to us with that still small voice, and then to be fruitful. Holy God, we pause and we pray for those of our church family who have been so near and so dear to so many for so many years, for the blessings that they have brought to the church, both here and elsewhere, serving as clergy and lay people, sharing the good news of Christ. So God, touch, minister, heal, and strengthen as only you can. Be with those who are away from home, those who have lost loved ones, those serving in the military, those serving in the mission field, those serving in places of relative security, those serving in places of threat, those serving in fruitful, bountiful places of harvest, and those in a dry, barren wasteland. Be with those who lead our church, our bishops, laypersons alike, and clergy. Be with those who lead our great land and our civil government, praying as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Let's worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please?
Oh,
Holy God, to you we give thanks and praise. We give you glory and adoration. And for the privilege to give this day, we give you thanks. For those who are a part of this vineyard in their faithfulness, and those of other vineyards as well, as we all testify to the goodness of Jesus Christ in the land of the living. Bless these gifts, and may they go forward to work in other places to reach others with the good news of Jesus Christ. Bless giver and gift and those who have not to give this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. It's time for the children's message. We ask the children to come forward.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? You're looking mighty pretty and handsome and like you're very spry and enjoying school and all those things. I have something this morning I'd like to ask you. Let's see. Do you think... was this at one time a part of something? What was it a part of? Maybe a tree. You think it might have had green leaves on it at one time, maybe? What happened? It got broken. You think if I put it in the ground and watered it, it would start to have some leaves? So you think these are hopeless? Pretty much so. Maybe to be thrown into the fire and burn, maybe. You could use them for what? You could use them in the fireplace, or you could put them in something and let them deteriorate and maybe use them for fertilizer. Huh? What about this one? This one here looks a little bit better. I picked it up yesterday while I was out in the yard. Do you think we could put it in the ground and it would start to grow? Some of you don't think. Some of you think, yeah. No. It's an iffy, right? It might and it might not, right? Looks kind of brittly. Okay. Wow. What about that one? No way, Jose, huh? So you think this one sort of had it. Now, it used to be a pretty green leafy branch, right? So what's it good for? I see you shaking your head. Nothing, huh? Or nothing. Well, I went out this morning and picked this, and it was growing on the edge of a vine, and I said, so I'll get this. And this even got a little something on the end here where maybe it's getting ready to put on a little piece of some kind of fruit, maybe a gourd or something like that. What do you think about this one? It's starting to look a little bit wilted. What do you think about it? Stick it in the ground, plant it, maybe. But it's already starting to look wilted. Look at there. What's going on with this? And why does it look like this? It doesn't have any, it's not connected to anything, right? This morning, it was a pretty green weed or something. But this morning, it was growing and it was, you know, was bright and saw the sunshine and all that stuff. Well, in our reading in Scripture this morning, Jesus says that He's the vine. And we are the branches. Now, branches have what on them? Leaves? Yeah. Fruit? Have some grapes. If it's a grape, it's a grapevine. So Jesus says he wants us to be the branches, and he wants us to be fruitful. So what kind of fruit are we going to be, right? Apple, cherry. But he's not necessarily talking about grapes, and he's talking about having good fruit, good actions in your lives. When you talk about being a Christian, what are some good things that you should be if you're going to be fruitful?
Love. Love. Say it. Love.
Love. Yeah, that's good. How about something else?
Joy.
Joy. There you go. Yeah.
Kindness. You were thinking that one?
All right. You were thinking. Kindness? Anything else? Huh? Yeah, being good to each other. Brotherly, sisterly kindness. Love. Peaceful. Huh? On time. What? Trees, yeah. All those are the good things. So this morning, I want to give you something. I want to give you a grape, because that's where grapes come from. They come from vines. And this is to remind you that Jesus wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be good. He wants us to be doing good things in this world, like loving and caring and being kind and having joy and peace with one another. So I'm going to share with you, and I have... Well, these grapes have seeds, so you're going to have to do something with the seeds when you get back to these. Here, don't let me pick them. You pick it. I've washed them off. You don't eat grapes? No, thank you. Whoa!
That's a lot of grapes.
Huge grapes. Whoa. Share them. There you go. Pass around. Pass the whole thing around. Did you get you a grape? Yeah. Okay, and you take the grapes and you eat them, and you're reminded that God wants us to be fruitful. You can eat them now. Yeah, you're dismissed. Go in peace. Amen. Yeah.
Thank you.
seated. It doesn't take me a lot of reading in Scripture, and I understand that there are certain topics that I just do not quite comprehend. If you were to ask me about cotton, I could tell you a little bit. I've seen it growing most of my life. Talk about tomatoes, pole beans, okra, squash, cantaloupe. I could tell you a lot about those because I've helped plant those and have plowed and worked. I don't know a whole lot about vineyards. But I do understand that it's something that has begun to take root in North America. As I think about vineyards and reading of Scripture, I'm reminded that many times that Israel was referred to as God's vineyard. God was always wanting Israel to produce the type of fruit that was exemplary of what God would want His nation to be like. I remember a lot of times God was upset with Israel. He said they were producing bitter fruit and were going untended because of their rebellion. Josephus says that in the temple, that there above the entrance into the temple area, there were gold inlaid designs of the branches of the vineyard. So it was an important symbol when Jesus says, "I am the vine. My Father's the husband. You are the branches." As I think about that passage and I think about how do I interpret it, it's like talking with the children. How do you explain to them that God wants them to be fruitful? And so when I think about the vineyard and I think about my knowledge of it, I reflect on the experiences that I've had. And I pastored a church in Skartex, and there in the backyard there were cherry trees and a fig bush. It was about three stories high. And a grapevine. One of the things I learned about cherry trees is whenever you see the birds out there taking all the cherries, they're ready to pick. It sort of reminds you of Alfred Hitchcock and the birds if you go out there and try to get those cherries. But they are really good during that time. When I was cutting the grass, I would go by the fig tree and I would pick me a handful of figs and I would eat them while I was cutting grass. And I went back there one day just so excited to have a parsonage where there was grapes, fresh grapes going to be growing on the vine. And to my shock, there was a little clump of grapes in the end. They looked to be just about the size of the end of your little finger. I was really disappointed. So I began to ask around in the church about somebody that knew a little bit about grapes. And one of the guys said, "Yeah, I'd love to come. I've been wanting to come and trim that grapevine for so long." And I said, "Well, come on." He said, "Well, now's not the time." And so one day he said to me, "He said, preacher, I think it's time for us to prune that grapevine." And he came and he began to clip and cut, and I thought he was going to kill it. And as he began to pull out those unproductive vines, and they would run almost the whole length of the vine, and I realized that I was watching almost like an artist at work. I discovered something else about grapes. Doesn't have anything to do with this sermon, but they have to be cross-pollinated with something like scuffadine or muscadine. So they were muscadine and scuffadine. Well, it was scuffadine. There were scuffadine vines growing in there with the grapevine. And that next year, we had the most beautiful bunches of grapes. It's just gorgeous. And I learned a little bit about grapevine. And about being productive. Jesus speaks to us. He says to us, as my disciples, you're the branches. And if you're not productive, you need to be pruned, cut out, thrown into the fire. As I reflect, think about the church, and it's not so much that there are individuals that need to be trimmed out of our fellowship, but rather I think about us as individuals. That there are those parts within us that maybe are not pleasing to God. They're those unproductive parts of us that do not speak well of what it means when we say that we are a Christian or a child of God. And that needs to be dealt with. It needs to be pruned. It needs to be cut out. My wife says I might not should tell you about this, but I'm going to risk it. Several years ago, while dealing with cholesterol issues, my physician says you need to drink 4 ounces of wine at night. So, me being a good old Mill Hill fella, not knowing a whole lot about wine, I went into Walmart and began to look around, and here was all these different wine: Chardonnay, Blanc, Burgundy. What in the world? And I found out that this speaks about certain regions in France, and they're named after those regions. The only thing that I really knew anything about was champagne, and the only reason I knew anything about that was because that's what the guys spewed all over each other at the World Series. And so I learned all these different things about these regions. That soil has an impact upon the quality. Certain types of soil reflect certain regions. When we think about ourselves as Christians, in the soil that we have, and how do we treat the strangers in our midst that come here? How do we treat one another? How do we respond to each other in this being fruitful branches that Christ would have us to be? Those grapes I gave to the kids this morning are those big old red round grapes, and I shared it with the young people during the 8:30 service, and they came up to me and said, "Oh, they're so good. I want another one." I said, "Well, I had to have some for this one, but any of you that need some, they're up here." But are we producing sweet grapes? Are we producing the type of fruit that God would have for each one of us to produce? Because he has already told us he wants us to be fruit-bearing Christians. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin in 1969 landed on the moon. It was a little after 3 o'clock in the morning. And there, Neil Armstrong asked for some radio silence. And there, on the moon, riding in the Eagle, a lander, there at the Sea of Tranquility, he had a flask. And in the 1/6 gravity of the moon, he poured wine that had been consecrated at his church into a little flask. And he had the bread. And he, there in those few moments, read this passage of Scripture where Christ said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And the first meal that was eaten by humans on the moon was the Lord's Supper. He had wanted to share it with all the world, but they were under so much stress from Miss O'Hara. And when they had shown, when they circled the moon and says, "In the beginning God created," that they decided not to air it. But he wanted to say, as he participated, to give thanks to the Creator who gave human beings the ability to do such a wonderful thing as to land a person on the moon. This meal that we take today is a time for us to be called back to the beginning of our faith and to hear again when God said to Moses, "I am the God that sent you." It's a time for us to remember that we are called to be fruitful Christians, that we are called to give of ourselves as disciples of Christ. I invite you to join with me in the liturgy that's found in your bulletin. Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life, and you who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst." The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right for us to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, for you made us, and before us you made the world we inhabited. And before the world you made the eternal home, in which through Christ we have a place. All that is spectacular and all that is plain have their origin in you. All that is lovely and all who are loving point to you as their fulfillment. And grateful as we are for the world we know and the universe beyond our knowing, we particularly please you, whom eternity cannot contain, for coming to earth and entering time in Jesus, for his life which informs our living, for his compassion which changes our heart, for his clear speaking which contradicts our generalities, and for his disturbing presence, his innocent suffering, his fearless dying, his rising to life and breathing forgiveness. We praise you and worship him. Here too our gratitude rises for the promise of the Holy Spirit, who even yet, even now, confronts us with your claims and attracts us to your goodness. Therefore we gladly join our voices to the song of the church, on earth and in heaven. And now, lest we believe that our praise alone fulfills your purpose, we fall silent and remember him who came because words weren't enough. Setting our wisdom, our will, our words aside, emptying our hearts and bringing nothing in our hands, we yearn for the healing, the holding, the accepting, the forgiving that Christ alone can offer. Merciful God, send now in kindness your Holy Spirit to make our sharing in this bread and cup a sharing in Christ's body and blood. And let that same Spirit rest on us, converting us from the patterns of this passing world until we conform to the shape of him whose food we now share. And now with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And those who come to me will never grow hungry. And those who believe in me will never be thirsty.
Lord, give us this bread forever. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the true vine. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Invite those who are to assist me to come forward, please.
Please join me in the unison prayer following communion. We give you thanks, O Father, for the life and knowledge that you have made known to us through your Son, Jesus. Yours is the glory forever and ever. As this bread was scattered upon the mountains, and being gathered together became one, so may your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory and the power through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen.
Go now and love one another, because love is from God. Proclaim God's salvation to every generation. Remain in Jesus Christ, and like branches of the vine, draw your life from him. And may God the vine grower tend to you and make you fruitful. May Christ Jesus abide in you and give you life. And may the Holy Spirit cast out all fear and fill you with God's love.